Welcome, welcome, welcome everyone to another episode of Faith All Over the Place, a little podcast that seeks to foster casual conversation and intense conversation about faith among people of different faiths, even. So I am coming to you pre-recorded from the glorious Sonoran Desert on a beautiful late fall day. And my name is Stephen Fraser, and as always, my good friend and partner in this faith endeavor, Chris Queen, also my editor. How are you, Chris?
I'm good. It's cold and windy here, so I have not been outside much at all today.
It's that beautiful time of year here. When I get up in the morning, it's in the 40s. By the time I head out for my walk, usually it's already warmed up into the 50s, and then it's going to be 80 today in the afternoon. So we're in that 40 degree swing time of year here that we get in the winter, yeah. In the late fall, winter time. It's a lot of fun. So today, Chris and I want to do something that this is something we actually talk about like in different times of the year, but
a lot.
We are both decidedly not fans of secular Christmas music, and that's just putting it mildly because this is a faith and religious podcast.
yeah.
And I have, for the last several years, always written a VIP column about the Christmas songs that I despise the most. And it's sometimes I shake it up a little. Number one is always the same. Sometimes I've gotten chastised in the past for forgetting the Mariah Carey song. But honestly, I think I've only heard the Mariah Carey song like twice in my life.
Really?
I know. It's probably, blessings. It's probably in the background when I do my shopping online. It's not like I'm in a mall. I still am exposed to the secular music. If you and I are both sports fans, so you know, when you're watching sports, you're not getting to the remote quickly. It's always a holiday commercial at this time.
Somebody's
getting a Cadillac SUV for Christmas. Uh-huh. Even though in real life, that's never happened.
Merry Christmas. Here's $1,000 car payment.
Unless you're, you know, part of the Onassis family. Or look at that. Look at me going really old school for rich people.
I was
going
to say, that was a good reference right there.
But I do go out in public on occasion, and you can't, when you go out in public at this time of year, you're going to be inundated with the horribleness that is secular Christmas music. Now, I know what bugs me about it, and it's a multifaceted thing. Tell me, Chris, like, when did you realize it was that you thought all of the secular stuff was garbage, or most of the secular stuff was garbage, and why you think it is?
I think the reason I think that most of the secular Christmas music is terrible is because, I mean, number one, it crowds out the real meaning of Christmas. And number two, it's just so many of them really aren't Christmassy at all. They're just generic songs about wintertime. And you know, they're about getting presents and things like that. And it's just all very crass is not quite the right word, but I think that's the word that pops in my head.
As a person of faith, it's easy to go from the whole, oh yeah, it's just the crowds on Christmas, which is true. And I get there. And that's all part of my reasoning too. A lot of it also has to do with the fact that it's forced upon us, as we were just talking. It's just like, you can't just like, it doesn't need to be every, and it's part of the big commercialization of Christmas too, that because every ad, as we said, has to be, you know, a holiday ad or something like that. But the real reason for me, it's basic. It's basic. I'm a big fan of blanket statements, but I'll leave a little qualification room for error here. But 99.99% of the secular Christmas songs are absolute crap. That's my big problem with that. The tunes are crap, and you compare them to, like, say, Oh Holy Night.
Right.
Or Oh Come, Oh Come, Emmanuel. Or anything like that. I mean, even Little Drummer Boy. I mean, you compare the music, the lyrics, they're beyond pale in comparison.
Well, now, you know my Little Drummer Boy story, why that's not one of my favorites.
I do not. I think you probably told me, but I forgot.
It's the first song I ever sung in public. I was 7 years old, and I have not lived that down in all these years. And so that's why I have kind of a complicated
love-loathe
relationship with the Little Drummer Boy, because I get roasted for it, you know, 40 plus years later. So
that's rough.
But
I was thinking about this today, though, and that's the big thing for me. It's the The lyrics are bad. It's the pale in comparison, especially when you're comparing them to almost any secular, like Silent Night, anything.
Right.
They're just awful songs. I mean, Winter Wonderland is just, that's my least favorite.
That's the pinnacle of or whatever the opposite of pinnacle is.
That's the nadir. That's the nadir. Yeah,
the nadir. That's right. The nadir of music.
Of holiday music. That's my least favorite.
Possibly music in general.
Always has been my least favorite, whatever. And it's probably the most played at this time of year. Everybody, and in theory, Parson Brown is a religious man, but and I know he's only a snowman, but if I ever see him, I'm punching him in the face.
There you go.
I'm punching him in his snowman face.
There's one version that I do like because it was done tongue in cheek. Back in the late 80s, a bunch of Christian artists, a Christian music label did a Christmas compilation album. And one of them was Steve Taylor, and he's known for his satirical music that skewers things in our culture from a Christian perspective. And he did a version, he did a mariachi version of Winter Wonderland, and it's hilarious. That's the only version I can tolerate.
Good mariachis make everything better. And my favorite things about being back in Tucson is random mariachi music. You'll go into this thing and you don't expect it. It's not really a Mexican celebration or anything, but all of a sudden mariachis pop up and it's just, I've never been to a social event where the mariachis show up that it didn't, even if the social event was already like next level wonderful, the mariachis always make it better. I will say that as a person from the Southwest. I'm trying to find, see if I can find last year's, the year before. Okay, well, this is wondering where I'm at. Which year is this? This is from 2022. These 15 secular Christmas songs deserve the death penalty.
That's brilliant, right there. Brilliant headline.
Somebody on Twitter said to me, "Come on, Jingle Bells can't be loathed," and I said, "It's horrid." and I've got some of these things like. And so this was my best one, I think, and this was my first one because I've got some I just do like little blurbs about what I think of the song. Jingle Bells, take the bells off your bobtail, you insufferable preening equine.
There you go. Yeah, I wrote two bad Christmas music lists, one in 2018 and then one, I'm trying to find it. I'm searching and I can't find it. And I just got a message. Hold on just a second. I'm trying to find it and I can't find it. There was one that was called the 10 worst Christmas songs. And then there's one that was the worst modern Christmas songs, which is its own category of bad. So I'm trying to find it. Can't find it.
So I'll just, while you're looking for that, I'll deck the halls. Fa la 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 sounds like Keith Richards asking someone to go to the men's room and do cocaine. I saw mommy kissing Santa Claus. Your mother is an alcoholic tramp and you're going to need some therapy, kid.
There you go.
I just like, okay, I'll repost this maybe in the briefing. I'll repost some of my, like, yeah, that's what I think. Since we're doing this and I don't have to write it, and again, ladies and gentlemen, when you're full-time writer, anytime you can talk instead of write, it's better.
That's true. That is true. All right. Simply Having a Wonderful Christmas Time. There's a bad one.
Oof.
Merry Christmas, Baby. That one. Any Christmas song that Bruce Springsteen sang deserves to be removed from the airways forever.
Oh, Santa Claus is Coming.
Santa Claus is Coming to Town. And he did one of Merry Christmas, Baby, and it was just... He took a bad song and made it worse, if it's possible.
By the way, those of us people of faith, I don't know, it was Jamie who wrote about it the other day, but in praise of Santa Claus.
Yeah.
I'm still a big Santa Claus fan. I like, you know,
it's
the magic of childhood. It's just, and then, you know, I'm a big St. Nicholas fan, and I forgot to post because his feast day was Saturday. And I don't go on X or Twitter that much on Saturday.
Yeah, yeah.
And I usually post the thing every year that's like, I came here to chew bubble gum and give out presents, and I just, you know, you have a bunch of heretics. And I just...
Yeah, that's it.
I just... No, I came here to pass out presents and punch heretics, and I just ran out of presents. That's the one.
I got both of my lists pulled up now.
Okay.
Here's one for you. John Denver did a song called "Please Daddy, Don't Get Drunk This Christmas."
I never heard that.
And it's unintentionally hilarious. Happy Christmas, war is over. That one could end, and I would never, ever, ever want to hear it. Anything by Mannheim Steamroller.
You know, that I've got a mixed... Sometimes I like Mannheim Steamroller, and then on the third Mannheim Steamroller song, I'm sick of the whole Mannheim Steamroller vibe.
Right, right.
And I have friends who have gone to see Mannheim Steamroller on the annual Christmas tour and are absolutely in love with it. I'm going like, I can't do that.
I just know I can't do it. I just can't. Do they know it's Christmas? Which contains the worst song lyric at all. Tonight, thank God it's them instead of you.
Yeah, just you pores. So I've got now two lists pulled up, my 2019 and my 2022. And here's the two things I did for Do They Know It's Christmas. The first one, even the kids they were helping wanted them to stop singing this.
Yes, yes.
And then in the other one I said, Do They Know It's Christmas? I don't know, maybe just do a quick fundraiser to buy them some calendars rather than unleashing this monstrosity of a song into the airwaves.
On my 2023 list, and I have Vodka Pundit to thank for this one, because he sent it to me and said it had to belong on the list. And it's a George Strait song called Christmas Cookies. It's cheesy as all get out, but it includes these lines. There's a benefit to all this that you might have overlooked or missed. So let me tell you the best part of it all. Every time she sticks another batch in the oven, there's 15 minutes for some kissing and a hugging. That's why I eat Christmas cookies all year long.
Do you know how hard it is to make two country music fans like us dislike a George Strait song?
Seriously.
That's like effort. That's effort on George Strait's part. That's effort on the part of whoever wrote the song. That's how bad secular Christmas music is, because I've really never heard a George Strait song I didn't like.
And, right, exactly.
Silver Bells. I've got Silver Bells on this one. And my line was, Bing Crosby was an awful father.
There you go.
Oh yeah, these were fun.
Grandma got run over by a reindeer. There's one for you.
Yeah, that's a horrible one too. You just reminded me of another reason that's probably an underlying force with me. As you said, so many of them are celebrating winter. I hate winter. I hate anything under
me too. Degree. Me too.
I don't want to shovel snow. Snow's pretty to look at. I'll give you that. When I'm in Michigan and I don't have to go outside for 5 days and it snows and I'm just looking at it out the window from an extremely well heated house, sure.
Right, right, right.
Sure. If I had to go to work in it every day, no. I'm moving to Florida in an hour. I say Florida, it's because that's where they all live. But
that's right. Become a snowbird.
Actually, the western half of Canada comes down here.
Okay.
We get all the Canadians, like from British Columbia. But yeah, and that's a big part of it. The celebration of winter. And if you think about it, you could say it's a nefarious way to just turn this into, you know, the naysayers, the anti-Christian people all like to say, well, it's just a pagan holiday. Well, you know, traditions evolve as they evolve. You know what I mean? It's
like, that reminds me of a meme that I saw a couple of times over the weekend, and it was a variation on the woman shouting and then the cat. Yeah. And it was the woman shouting, and she goes, "Christmas trees are pagan because they're a pagan celebration." And then it's Jesus on the other panel. He says, "Well, I created the Christmas tree, so I call dibs."
I mean, you could point to like almost it's not okay. The actual reason we're celebrating can't be pinned on any pagan tradition or anything, but traditions, little things like, oh, how are we going to do the meal? You know, what are we making? You know, that kind of stuff evolves, you know,
and it's, right, absolutely.
And it's also very ethnic too. I mean, the way the Poles do Christmas Christmas Eve is actually the focal point for Polish people.
Yeah.
There are all kinds of wonderful traditions that go along with that that we don't do here. It's the cheapening of the real meaning of Christmas. And next week, by the way, we're bagging on the Christmas songs right now. Our good friend Ashley McCauley is going to be joining us next week, and we'll be talking about Advent traditions, focusing on Advent. Yes. Focusing on Advent recently, anti-Advent, generic Christmas is non-religious world.
Right.
I was going to write about it the other day, but then I figured it'd be more fun if the three of us just talk about it next week.
That's true.
I'm trying to focus on Advent a lot more. I was just thinking about, you know, I'm watching them light the Advent candle before Mass the other day. It's just back in the movie. And in the Roman Church, this is the beginning of the calendar year for the Roman Catholic calendar. Our year just started 2 weeks ago.
Okay. We had the Advent candles on our stage at church as well, and they are part of the sermon. Kurt lights the current week's candle during his sermon. So that's kind of a nice little kind of ceremonial flourish during
the sermon. We gotta have Kurt back on too. I had love talking.
Yes.
I hope he enjoyed talking to me.
I think he did.
I know
it'd be fun to have him back
on. I know you guys don't get a lot of RC exposure down in your neck of the woods, but I remember the first time I was doing gigs in the South, I was trying to find a church to go to Mass too, and it's like, you guys know we're a Catholic church, everybody looked at me like I'd just come in from another planet.
Oh wow.
I was like driving, this is Alabama.
Wow.
I had to drive like 40 minutes to get to, this is when I used to drive back east all the time to my gigs.
Yeah.
But I did. I was a wild young comic. I didn't drink back then. I stopped drinking when I first went on the road. I was a wild young comic on stage, but everywhere I went, I found a place to go to Mass that Sunday.
See? I mean, you have to do that. It's kind of like, you know, we had Paul Carenza on. He wrote a book about visiting different churches when he was doing stand-up, just looking at different denominations and different styles of worship. And it's a really interesting book, because he talks about, you know, the different experiences he had touring the UK and trying out many wildly different types of churches.
It's like the modern stand-up comic version of Thomas Merton's Seven Story Mountain.
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely.
What did I want to ask you before we got that's what I wanted you to talk about. We'll finish up here talking about our favorite religious Christmas song.
Okay.
But I want you to tell. So Chris has a new tradition this year, thanks to a birthday gift he got.
Yes,
you just wrote about today. Why don't you pimp that too? Tell everybody about that, because it's really cool.
My brother, and this is a remarkably thoughtful gift from him, curated me a bourbon Advent calendar, from his personal collection, and it's an interesting mix because it's, you know, some of it is already familiar stuff to me. Some of it is kind of go-to stuff that I drink a lot. And then others were brand new, and some are rare, like distillery exclusives and things like that, that have been really nice. And I've enjoyed writing about those and really, with the ones that are ones that I'm familiar with, kind of trying to approach them as if I was drinking them for the first time. And that's been a really fun experience.
So are you doing a daily tasting? Are you just working through it like a true Advent calendar?
Yeah, I'm doing it every day. Yeah, every evening.
It was such a cool idea. It was now you've got me thinking, like, if I could ever start making hot sauce that's good for that's good for other people to eat, because I just keep making face melting stuff for myself.
blowing people out of the water, right?
I have actively been trying to learn how to make milder sauce that I can give to friends and relatives, because that was always the goal here. I wanted to just buy a bunch of those little bottles on Amazon and start giving this stuff out as gifts to friends and relatives. But then for a few select people, I could do, I don't know if I get that many different hot sauces. So that's a lot of different hot sauces.
I was going to say, you'd have to really do some different variations and
So now talking about the bourbon collections and your brother's bourbon collection, I'm really trying to just, like, lately, I told you yesterday about this threshold I hit with my weight. I've been working hard. I've got all these plans for the new year. I'm going to start working out with a personal trainer and everything. So I've really got to lay off beer here for a long time, which during the winter isn't as hard for me. So all I'm going to do is stay keto friendly, and I'm just going to start collecting whiskey and maybe the occasional bourbon.
And yeah, yeah.
Like I keep saying I'm going to do that, but I haven't really done it because I've just been beer crazy the last 2 years.
It's yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
A few things on this planet that I love more than beer.
Yeah.
So I'm going to start collecting. I'm just going to have a bunch of whiskey sitting here on my. I actually cleared off space on my bar cart, put a little chessboard on so I could study opening moves every day there because okay. I'm not drinking that much. So
the bar right, cart's right.
functional now.
It's a chess cart now.
It's a chess cart with a bar. There actually is no booze on the bar cart. There's all kinds of things to make. I got, because I had a bespoke post subscription for so long, I've got so many cool things to make. I look like a true mixologist if you look at my bar cart, and I never make cocktails. So
okay, wow.
If anyone ever visits me and wants to make cocktails, we got everything.
Then you're good to go, right.
We got everything. I think there's obviously going to be a lot of overlap on this, but, go through some of your favorite of the religious songs.
Okay, all right. One that has become a favorite of mine really just in the last couple of years is In the Bleak Midwinter. And the reason I like that one is because I've gotten into the Carols from Kings program that they do at Cambridge every year. I've listened to the radio broadcast or watched the videos of it, and it's just really beautifully done. And that's one they do every year. And that is just, it's a beautiful melody. It's just gorgeous. Another one for me, there is the British do a different melody of Away in a Manger, and I really like it. I'm gonna have to find a YouTube clip of that to put in the article, but it's just really pretty and different. And also, I've been listening the last 5, 6, 7 years to medieval Christmas music as well, which is just gorgeous and really different and unique, very unique stuff. Some of it in Old English, some of it in Latin.
I'll have to dive into some of that because I haven't.
Yeah, New York Polyphony is the ensemble that I listen to their music a lot at Christmas time.
I like a lot of the. I'm a Catholic boy who grew up in a Mormon town, and I have a lot of misgivings about that. However, I do like listening to the Mormon Tabernacle Choir's Christmas stuff.
I get it.
They do that very well. New York Polyphony. I'm looking forward to it. Spotify.
We have an original Christmas song that we do at our church every year. We have never recorded it, and every time we do it, people ask for a recording of it, and we've never recorded it. We need to do that, but that's kind of neat to have one that is unique to our church family, and that's a lot of fun to have.
You just reminded me of I'm looking for it right now. The name of it. My mother is not where I get my Polish blood from, but my mother was a professional singer. Well, we lived up in this little town in the White Mountains here. And we had a tiny little Catholic, this is the Mormon town I just talked about. Every year, my mom at midnight mass would sing this Polish Christmas carol.
Huh.
And Shepherds, Can You Tell? Was that? I'm gonna have to go listen to these and figure out which ones they were. She's not gonna remember, right? But I gotta find this because you just reminded me of that. Because most of the stuff I like is just the bass. So you talked about a different arrangement, though. That's the thing. I have a lot of traditional favorites.
Yeah,
I am not averse to hearing new arrangements. I like that a lot, actually.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's people are gonna hate me for this, but there's a Taylor Swift did a wildly different arrangement of Silent Night years ago, like 10 when she was when she was still a country singer.
And I love it, but
I like Taylor Swift.
Manchester Orchestra has some really moody versions of traditional Christmas songs that are really good. Weezer did a Christmas album several years ago that sounds like a Weezer album, but they do traditional Christmas carols, and they do them well.
I'm looking at my library right now.
And of course, the Carpenters always go to them because they're tremendously beautiful.
I would have to say, okay, I left wiggle room for one secular song, two secular songs I might like. I'm an idiot. Of course, Blue Christmas. I love Blue Christmas.
Blue Christmas is good, and Megan Maroney did a version of it last year that is terrific.
Really?
Of course, she is terrific. So, her version is really good. It's very traditional country.
So there would be my one exception to the rule.
But it's
Elvis. So I'm looking for I have two different Christmas playlist songs. I have too many. So my Spotify has been shared with my child for over a decade now.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And she takes advantage of it. And we get a lot of, no, these are mostly my things here. It's just, there's a lot of overlap. But I want to find, you're going to hate it. There's some pop band version of Little Drummer Boy that I bought, which you're not going to
like. Okay.
Because it traumatizes you.
Yeah, right.
I don't want to send Chris into there because we heard Little Drummer Boy again.
I'm telling you, it still haunts me. My Christmas playlist is about 50-50 Christmas music and non-Christmas music. So that way I'm not worn out by 16 different versions of Silent Night over the course of a work week, you know,
when I put the Christmas music on for what I'm doing, like on Christmas Day, especially and everything, I haven't really overplayed anything at that point.
Mine is
pretty concise. And I don't wear myself out. When I'm working, I can't listen to things with words in it. I listen to classical music on Sirius XM, or there's this thing called Lo-Fi Girl. It's ambient music to listen to while you're working or studying. Spotify. That was one of my biggest things on my Spotify rap feature, actually.
Okay.
But I'll find this. It's Little Drummer Boy. But I do have Mannheim Steamroller on here. Not on the entire Steamroller thing. But yeah, I do like. So my favorite, all time favorite of the last few years is Martine McBride singing Oh Holy Night.
Oh, yes. And absolutely.
There's a live version of it that's absolutely just mind blowing that I usually post a video of. It's older. I've posted the video several times. I think I posted the last couple of Christmas days. I'll post it again this Christmas Day.
Yeah.
And so that's far and away my favorite.
Okay.
I love listening to different arrangements, but different versions of Silent Night.
Okay. Yeah.
There was a secular blending. So the parish I went to in California, St. Monica's, was huge. Mm-hmm. And all of the people who sang in the choir were professional singers.
Okay. Yeah. That stands to reason.
And I would always usher midnight mass in the gym because that was just like, so what they would do, they combined a couple of choirs and they would start singing really early, way before mass.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, they would finish with Joy to the World, which most Catholic churches do. I expect a lot of churches finish up with Joy to the World.
Right.
But then, like, in the middle of it, they would do this weird little bridge interlude where they would kick into the Hoyt Axton / Three Dog Night version of Joy to the World.
Interesting.
The chorus, which was really cool.
Interesting.
And then they would go back. So it really just added a lot of fun to really just, like, everybody.
Yeah.
That was, I wish they had recorded that somewhere.
Yeah, that does sound interesting.
The playlist
gives a little interesting kick.
Jars of Clay is the name of the band who did the
Little Yes, that yes.
This is basic, but I like most of the Pentatonics Christmas stuff.
Yeah, okay, I get it.
Also, it may not all be completely religious, but I'm a huge ballet fan, which most people don't know. And although I do not like to watch the Nutcracker as a ballet, the music,
the
music does put you in a Christmas.
Oh yeah. Well, kind of same thing with Charlie Brown Christmas soundtrack. I mean, they play some secular stuff on that, but it's still really, really good, classy Christmas music. I watched it last night.
Those are my two favorites. I would have to say I'm pretty sure Angels We Have Heard on High might come in at a solid number three for me.
Yeah.
Especially if you just find a version. Well, there's the Amy Grant version, but you and I both grew up with pressures on Amy Grant. So
not grew up.
I was already a grown man by the time I got to But there's the Amy Grant version of Angels We Have Heard on High.
Yep.
But Martina McBride doing A Holy Night, far and away. I could listen to that. In fact, when I do play it on Christmas Day, I tend to have to just put it on a loop for a while.
Okay. Yeah.
That's easily my favorite. And that's the thing. If you hold up any of the secular songs against that, they all look, they're all crap. It's all
right.
Garbage.
Oh, yeah. My friend Melanie Penn, who I keep talking about wanting to get her on the podcast too, did an album a few years ago that all of her songs are from the perspective of various people in the Christmas story.
She does
a song from Joseph's perspective. She does one from Mary's perspective. She does one from the angel choir's perspective. She even does one, you know, using Isaiah's prophecy of the Messiah from his perspective. And it's really, really cool.
It's almost as if, gosh, that people who are inspired to write Christmas music, who are inspired by the Lord to write Christmas music, end up writing better music.
Oh, absolutely.
Just I'm being facetious.
Absolutely. Well, really, there. My friend Bill Maloney, who was the mastermind behind the 90s college rock band Vigilantes of Love, did a song a few years ago called On to Bethlehem. And it's from the point of view of a musician. And he just talks about how, you know, throughout the year he has to struggle with whether his retail is up and his radio plays are down. But then he says, "My heart's electric with your love again. So on to Bethlehem."
Nice.
Such a really
got cool. A lot of cool. You need to write some about some of these offbeat. I mean, I know we talked about it.
I think I wrote one years ago. Like the best Christmas songs you've never heard or something like that. And I'll link to that.
Yeah, I'm going to try the medieval stuff right away. I've got that on Spotify right now. But,
yeah.
I think we've gone past what I thought. I was looking like 15. I forgot to turn the timer on today, but I know we're at least a half an hour.
I think we're probably close to 35 minutes in, which is fine, cool.
And talk about a gear shift and a vibe shift. As soon as I'm done here, I'm going to go write about Richard Pryor. So,
because
we're recording this on the 20th anniversary of Richard Pryor's death, and nobody.
I've never heard any of Richard Pryor's Christmas songs.
Richard Pryor is his unknown Christmas death. So I figured I have to write something.
No, absolutely. Absolutely.
So I'm going to go write about that. It'll be my second long VIP column of the week. And everybody here knows I don't do long VIP columns, but heck, it's a new day. It's a new dawn.
There you go.
I haven't had anything to drink in 2 weeks. So who knows what's going on with me. I haven't had any adult beverages to drink. I mean,
for some people, drinking makes them more verbose. For you, not drinking does that.
Yes. Well, I've got all these extra hours in the day now. Gotta do something.
Right. Okay. Another one. Roberta Flack's version of What Child Is This?
Yes.
Will give you chills. So good.
Who do I have on my Spotify list? What Child Is This? Oh, Carrie Underwood.
Well, okay.
Yeah. That's you're not
Carrie Underwood wrong. Could sing the
you're
phone
not gonna
book.
You're not going to go wrong with that.
No, not at all. She could sing the phone book and be.
Yes. Simon Cowell. Do you know my favorite thing about American Idol back in the day when you meant something?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's career.
Right.
When Simon, the popular lore, people like to remember that Simon Cowell said, you're going to sell more records than anybody in the history of this competition. And they think he said that to her when she won. He said that to her like three rounds before she won.
Wow. Yeah.
Very few people remember that. That's how much Simon knows about the business. She hasn't even won the thing yet, and he said that. And he was right. She came back a couple of years later as the, you know, the winner who always comes back near the end from the finale and everything. And, it was several years later, and he said, I said, you're going to sell more records. And I was right. And he's still right. She sold more records than anybody in the history of that company.
But, did I ever tell you, that Bo Bice used to go to my church?
I don't think so. I think I remembered that.
For about a year, he and his family lived near us and went to the other campus of our church, which we have spun off into its own church now. But he sang at our Christmas Eve service 1 year, and when we were rehearsing for it, he showed up, rehearsed his song, and left. Because we were all like, we're going to get to hang out with Bo Bice. So he came in for 5 minutes.
Yeah. Still, cool that he was there.
It was still cool. Yeah, it was still cool to get to do that. Yeah.
All right. Well, everybody, it's nice. It's not only nice to have done this and to get this off our chest, we didn't have to write about it this year, but I can still post links to the ones I've written in years past, highlights.
Right.
I think maybe
I'll post all those links so that we have them in the article.
I think that maybe I'll just do some highlights from my columns about secular Christmas music for the Christmas Day post on the briefing.
There you go. That's a good idea.
Because the day after Christmas, I'm doing a best of thing, and I've got Christmas blessing.
Call it greatest not hits.
Because the day after, I think on both of those, I posted Martina McBride's video at the end.
Because it's wonderful.
So not only did we have fun talking about this, we hope that listening to it, you'll weigh in on what you like or don't like, and it's nice to know that we've got next week planned already. Ashley texted me back; she's wide open for recording next Thursday.
Excellent, so that's exciting.
We will be joined by our good friend Ashley McCulley, who I think may be drifting in and out of various episodes of ours going forward.
I think so. Yeah, I think she. Yeah, we could have her as a go-to.
Thank you very much for listening. We really appreciate you people, and we appreciate everyone here. And although we value our VIP family greatly, at every once in a while, Chris and I will always do this. Kevin and I will always do a free version of Unwoke. We want to give you some content on this side of the paywall to entice you to the other side.
That's not the only reason we're doing it, but
you can't read the Richard Pryor article if you're not judging. That's all I'm saying.
See, there you go.
All right, everyone, thank you very much, and we will talk to you next week.
See y'all.